Kings chapter 4 again tonight, but we do appreciate your prayers for us. We take for granted that we're always going to be able to do what we've always done, and that's not always the case. And so we do pray that the Lord would bless our time together here this evening once again, and be glorified, of course, of all. As we remember coming back to this passage tonight, 2 Kings chapter 4, we read again in verse number 38, "And Elisha came again to Gilgal. There was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot, and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. And he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, Pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot." Now this morning, as we looked at this passage, we made a few observations as we discovered the context and then, of course, looked at the setting, the things that were going on here. But primarily, we made practical application from the death in the pot here to the lost, to the death in the pot of natural man, and rightly so, because we're surrounded by death in that sense today. We are surrounded by people that are lost and dying and going to hell, and mainstream religion is not telling them about the death in their pot. Mainstream religion is making them feel good that there's something in their pot, making them feel good that it looks a certain way or even tastes a certain way, and all of that kind of thing. They're not telling them that what is in the pot is poisonous and is killing them, and they're certainly not telling them about the real remedy to the situation as we discussed this morning. As we get back into it tonight, the couple of things we wanted to point out as Elisha comes here to Gilgal and is preparing to teach and does so, and we find the scene unfolding, we know that it ends in a great miracle that God did, a supernatural work for the meal to turn the pottage back into something that was good and wholesome. But we also take note that it began with a practical work. It began with a very simple act of obedience, a very simple act of someone doing as God would have them to do. And that was, of course, Elisha commanding the pot to be put on, the pot being put on. And then, of course, later on, when the poison was found out, the simple act of the meal being added. God certainly did the work. Elisha couldn't have changed the ingredients or the makeup or the nature of what was in the pot of his own accord. But we see God used Elisha to bring that about. He used human means and an element here that Elisha provided. Now, of course, God worked and God gets all the glory for that. But what it reminds us of today is that there is still a human element in the work of the Lord. There is still work for us to do. We still need to set on the pot. We still need to be ready to throw in the meal as we have the opportunity. And as we looked at it this morning, using the analogy we did as to a lost and dying world, means we need to be ready to preach. We need to be ready to witness. We need to be ready to testify, to tell others about Christ in this day that we live in. It's akin to Elisha putting on the pot or throwing in the meal. By itself, if God doesn't bless it and if God doesn't use it, it really doesn't amount to much. But yet when God does, oh, what a great thing it is. And God uses means. He uses men or women, boys and girls. He uses the human element to bring about His work. And a lot of times we think so much about the supernatural or the big acts. We think so much about those things that we rarely think about the small practical acts of obedience, the small practical things that we can do in order to be used in the work of the Lord, that eventually, or that possibly may lead to us seeing something glorious like this taking place. And Elisha performs even another miracle here in the last closing three verses of this chapter. And so on it goes. Elisha is being used. There is certainly a human element that is involved in what is transpiring in this passage, but also what is transpiring in our lives today. And so we need to think about that. Now, as we move on tonight from the death in the pot and thinking about death in the pot of man, we wanted to think for just a few minutes about tonight, death in the pot of America. Death in the pot of America. And that'll lead us into our other two thoughts for this evening. But when we think about the country that we live in today, and if we were to liken it to this pot, and the wild gourds being thrown in as poisonous things, we find that over the course of time, America has added a lot of wild gourds. Over the course of time, she has put within herself and within her pot that which is ungodly, that which is unnatural, that which is poisonous and brings death. And that's why the death pangs, if you will, are sort of rattling as far as America is concerned, because death has been in her pot for many a year, and she has not woken up to the fact that it is here. I mean, just think back over the course of your lifetime. We have seen more than ever any other generation America throwing these wild gourds and poison into her pot. You remember in your lifetimes when prayer was taken out of schools. You remember when, all the way back to, you know, the post-World War II era, when our country really lost its workman's feel and attitude, and people began to get the idea that they deserve so much of this and so much of that, and lost its focus and lost its family-first mentality. And the home began to fall apart. Another wild gourd thrown in. Of course, by today's standards, the home looked pretty good in the 50s and in the 60s in a lot of ways. But the gourds began to be thrown in even that far back. And then, of course, as we mentioned, the prayer being taken out of the schools. If you study your history, come across what is known as the Human Manifesto, or no, Humanist Manifesto, that the Supreme Court's ruled on back in the, I think it was the late 60s, if memory serves tonight, and the memory may be off a little bit this evening about that timing. But if you look at those things, those are again just more wild gourds being thrown into the pot, and it becoming more poisonous and more dreadful than it was before. Of course, we come forward to the beginning of the 70s and Roe versus Wade and abortion, which had existed in America before then. Let's be honest, there was abortion. There were places to go to take care of that. But for the most part, they were done in the sort of back alleys. They were done in the dark. But, of course, we know how that case turned out, and another gourd was thrown in to the pot of America that brought more poison, and now millions upon millions of children have been murdered because of that ruling. And now we have had more than one generation be raised up and come through to adulthood that knows nothing different than Roe versus Wade being a reality, and the woman's right to choose being a reality. And so people today of say my generation and younger, they don't even question whether it should be. They don't even question whether it, really is something that, is, unless they've been raised and, of course, with some standards and with some convictions. But I'm talking about the average American citizen. It's just how it's always been for their lifetime. Again, another gourd added in, and it has brought us to the place where we are today because of that mentality. And really, the closer you get, or the further you come in the history of America, the more of those cords that are getting thrown in. More of them are getting thrown in. We could probably spend all of our time together tonight marking dates and talking about things, you know, all the way up to the Supreme Court ruling last year with, homosexual marriage and all of that, another gourd being thrown in. And so the point is that the pot that is America is a very poisonous pot. It is a pot that contains very much in the way of death. And the only remedy to that is the miraculous working of God. That's the only remedy. We cannot, just as they could not take out the poison and make the pottage edible and good in the eyes of Elisha or in the eyes of God, we cannot simply take out of America what is wrong and make her not poisonous anymore. God has to do the work. God has to be the one to supernaturally bring that about. And it doesn't necessarily come by taking out. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be backing politicians that are against abortion and try to get it out of our country, that are against homosexual marriage, get out of our country. Of course we should. That is, part of what we should be about. But at the same time, if we, by some miracle, were able to win one of those, issues, say tomorrow we were able to get a law passed that made abortion illegal, we step back and we take a look and say, man, this is great. But then we begin to look around, is America any less poisonous than it was before? It's a better place, and it's good that abortion is no longer legal, but there is so much other that the pot is still filled with poison. And so that is where we find our country today. And only a truly supernatural act, like we see in this passage where God adds, is going to change this country. And we've talked at length and preached times before about how we don't expect that necessarily to be the case. But that is what is needed. America needs God to act in that way. But America has abandoned God. America has turned its back upon God. And so it's very unlikely that will be. But there is death in the pot. And so whatever comes out, whatever is poured out of the pot of America is tainted by that poison. And that is seen around the world by the reputation that our country has and all the things that it does. And so, I mean, just take this and apply it. As you listen to the news, as you watch the government in action, as you see this election cycle continue to spiral into the bizarre, you know, see the death that is in the pot of America and how it is going to just continually get worse and more poisonous until the Lord returns. But the reality is that even though we live in this country, as we mentioned this morning, we don't have to go down with it. We don't have to eat it. We don't have to take it in. We have another source. So we wanted to mention that at first tonight because it sort of has some bearing on the two main points that we wanted to bring out tonight. And so the second thing we'd want to see this evening is the death in the pot of truth. Because of the difficult day that we live in, because of the climate that we find ourselves in, we know that there is much in the way of pressure upon God's people, upon His churches, to compromise, to change what they believe, to alter their convictions, to give up on truth. Now, we read about this morning, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, about teaching. We read about how that it is our responsibility to take and to teach to others. And the example of Elisha, to teach to others that which has been taught to us, that which has been delivered, as Jude verse 3 says, we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Part of that contending is to teach, to deliver, to give to others, that they again may teach and propagate truth down through the time that we have left. But the question is, what are we teaching? The question is, what are we believing? What are we passing on? What are we instilling in those that 2 Timothy 2:2 describes as faithful that we are to deliver to? What are we giving them? Now think about this in relation to the pot metaphor as seen here in Elisha's time. as that pot was poured out into those bowls for the men to eat, what did the men find in those bowls to begin with? Of course, they found poison. They found death. They found that which was not good. They found that which was not edible. And so we have to step back and ask ourselves, as a church, as God's people, we are responsible to be teaching others, to be delivering truth to a lost and dying world. We are responsible as a people to be poured out, that others may eat, that others may take in that which we have learned, that which we have had taught to us, that which we believe. And so the question again is, what is it that we believe? There are many poisonous and wild gourds to be gathered today and put in our pot with regard to truth or with regard to what we believe. The landscape is full of wild vines where you can pluck off ideas and pluck off doctrines and pluck off understandings and maybe even preferences or convictions that may look the part. I mean, I'm sure that when the servant went out to gather those wild gourds, that they looked good. That they looked like something maybe they had ate before. They looked like maybe a cucumber, as we mentioned this morning, that could be the case. Maybe it looked like a squash or a pumpkin. Who knows what it looked like, but no doubt it looked like something they'd had before, were familiar with. With good intentions, he plucks it, brings it in, and of course we know the result. But when we think about truth, it's very much like that. There's a lot on the landscape out there today for us to pluck off. A lot for us to grab. And Satan does a very good job at disguising the poison, disguising the wild gourds and making it look good. There is so much out there in religion today that people have packaged in, hope this doesn't sound disrespectful, in Jesus wrapping paper and boxes and have delivered to people, and they take it because of what it's packaged in. They wrap that name around it. And we don't have time to turn there tonight, but we read 2 Corinthians 4 in verse number 1 and 2 at the nursing home this afternoon, where it talks about not handling the Word of God deceitfully. Not just taking whatever doctrine that you want to believe or you want others to follow you in and putting it in a nice package and selling it to others. That's not what we're about. And so we need to realize that as we go and are in the world, as we are met with these opportunities, we need to ask ourselves, is this a wild gourd? Growing off a wild vine that maybe looks good and maybe with good intentions that I would pluck, but in the end would be poisonous and disastrous for me if I were to put it in my pot, if I were to take it in. This once delivered faith is what we are to stick to and to stay completely away from the wild gourds of error. And let me say this, that the better we know truth, the better we know the Word of God, the better we know what we believe, what our convictions are, the better we know, thus saith the Lord, the easier it is for us to tell the difference. Others might be tricked. Others might be mistaken. Others might be, confused. But if we are sticking to the truth and if we know it well, we will be able to spot the differences. We will be able to see, you know what, that sort of sounds okay, but, there it is. There it is. There's error. There it is. It's a wild gourd. If I was to take that and put it in, it would have poisoned me. It would have brought death to my pot. It would have hurt me or my family or my church. These errors look similar shape. Might look wholesome, but we need to make sure that we are not heaping them into our pots. You know, 2 Timothy talks about the time shall come when the very people of God will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will desire error instead of truth. Same principle here. So what he's saying is that they will be gathering wild gourds all the while, even knowing that they're wild gourds, putting them in their pot, because they think it'll be beneficial or good, or because that's what's easy. The end result is a poisoned and ruined church, or a poisoned and ruined home, or a poisoned and ruined life because of that which has been brought in. Look with me to Proverbs. I couldn't help but think about this verse. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. A very simple proverb given to us in the form that we find the Proverbs in. It gives a very basic instruction that would lead to a foundational habit that would bless the life of a child of God by the truth. Don't go looking for the wild gourds. Don't go looking for that which might look good or that which might even taste okay. Don't go looking for those things, but instead insist on the truth and the truth alone to bring back and put within your pot. Especially this time of year, the farmers start bringing their gourds from market. And you know what? You look at some of them and you're like, I don't know about that. I don't know if anything good could come from that. You know, because they look all funny and bumps and all this other stuff, you know. But that's sometimes what people do. Instead of buying the truth, they buy that. They buy that. And they throw it in their pot and they say, well, look at this. Isn't this a little bit different? You know, so-and-so ministry, so-and-so, you know, big-time pastor, so-and-so this. You know, they say that this is the way to live. This is the key to happiness. This is the key to prosperity. This is, you know, what life should be about. So I'm going to follow it. And again, it might look okay. But what it leads to is poison being put in our pots. We see it also in the modern translations of the Bible. What do you think those are? They're not from the good vine. They're not from the God vine. They're from the wild vine, as described in 2 Kings. They are those wild gourds growing, and they're so numerous out there today. And people are taken so much by them. I mean, we live in a time that people that are, you know, of adult age have grown up with a plethora of scripture options, translation options. And they have no idea what is right. They have no idea which one to choose. They pick one that they seem to think is right, and they go with that. And all they're doing is throwing more death in the pot because it's not doing them any good. Just throwing more death in the pot. Why would we, as God's people, having the truth delivered to us, again, as Jude 3 says, go out and pick a wild gourd, knowing all the while that it's a wild gourd, knowing all the while that it is poison, and bring it into our church, into our home, into our pulpit, and teach from it, and read it, and take it in? Why would we do that? And yet we see many churches, not so much in our fellowship yet, and hopefully never will be, though there was a time just, I don't know, 3 years ago, I thought it could be possible. And maybe it is. But we need to always be realizing that even those translations that might look okay and sound okay, well, they just changed a little bit here, they're still wild gourds, and they will bring nothing but poison. If you put air within, you will get air without, and it is not any good. It affects us. These men took in that poisonous pottage, and it had an immediate impact upon their life. We are to be careful at the church level, at the individual level, at the home level, family level, that we are taking in truth and truth alone. And that's getting harder and harder in this society to do. We need to stay away from the wild gourds. And that, again, can be difficult because we hear something, we read something, something becomes popular. Some years ago, I remember it being big even back when we were up in Jackson. So, you know, 02, we're talking, you know, some 14 years ago, that the, purpose-driven church, or the purpose-driven life by Rick Warren was just a big deal. I mean, everybody wanted a part of it. Everybody thought it was the best thing ever. And they were plucking that book or those gourds off the vine and taking them in, and they were building churches. And they were building homes and lives after what this man had to say was the right thing to do. And I won't go into details because it's really not important, but if you follow that out, you see where he is today and who he's associated with and all those things. You really read his material and look at it and you see it's poison. Not any good. It was sort of before my time and not very popular, by the time I came of age and started paying attention to things, but even back to the Good News for Modern Man. If you study that, and many of you have had experiences with that, looked good to a lot of people. Promise keepers looked good to a lot of people. You know, that was a big thing too. But they were just kind of wild gourds being plucked off and poison being the result. So when we think about what the purpose of a church is, we know that Timothy tells us that we are the pillar and ground of the truth, which means that we are to be standing for and dispensing the truth of the Word of God. It is to be coming out of us. And so we had better be sure what we are putting in, what is in our pot, is good to be consumed. That is good to be taken in. Because every time we come together in worship, we're pouring out. We're dispensing to others. We do it in song. We do it through prayer. We do it through preaching. We do it through teaching. We do it through fellowship. We are pouring out of ourselves and out as a church. The question is, as their bowls are filled up and they begin to eat it, what are they getting? Is it poison? Is there death in our pot? I think that was some of the difficulties with a few of the churches in Revelation that received the notices from the Lord that they needed to shape up. We need to be considering, as a church, as individuals, what is in our pot, because there are a lot of churches in our society today where death is in the pot. And they don't know it. They haven't woke up to that yet. You can think about many churches that have gone by the wayside over the course of time. And generally, what has been the issue? Death in the pot. Compromise. Error. False things and error being crept in. We need to make sure that we don't pluck those wild gourds. And that's to say, we didn't even say anything about the Lord's Supper or baptism. And those two certainly have their own wild gourds that look close, that look okay, you know. But they're not baptism if it's not done, to the proper candidate, not done for the proper purpose by the one with proper authority, and not done proper mode. To be baptized fully or immersed fully under the water. Same thing with the Lord's Supper. There are a lot of wild gourds, a lot of churches that say, yeah, as long as you're saved, you can take part. As long as you're a member of another Baptist church, you can take part. It may look close, but it's a wild gourd full of poison. And so we need to be very careful or putting in the pot because we are dispensing those things. And again, that has a connection with America because this is where God has called us to serve and the time that God has called us to serve Him in. And so we need to be very careful about that in this time. And then the other thought we wanted to bring out this evening using this same metaphor is just simply death in the pot of our Christian walk and our Christian life. There's a lot of times that we as God's people add poison. Not talking now about truth or that which we accept as truth, but a lot of times we add poison or these wild gourds to our pot of Christian walk, of Christian life, of our citizenship as we often refer to it. It's our way of living. We add poison. We add death to the pot. We allow bad influences into our life. through the people or through the places that we allow ourselves to be associated with. We allow ourselves to be affected by the bitterness of other people. There are some people today that are simply poison. They are poison wild gourds. They are and have nothing good to say about the Lord, about His churches, about His people. And they might look the part. They might be a member in good standing at one of the Lord's churches. But when you really talk to them, you really get to know them, you find out that they're full of poison. They're full of, or they are a wild gourd, because all they have to say is bad stuff. And when that's what we take in and put into our pot, that bitterness, that poison is going to have a dreadful effect upon us. And then as we ourselves are poured out for the Lord on an individual basis, then we just pass along that poison, that bitterness. Or, you know, another one you could think about is just simply negativity. Gossip. Oh man, gossip, you know, when we talk about each other, or when you talk about people you know and you don't have all the facts and you run them down the road, or say, I heard this and I heard that. Is that putting something good in? It might look good. And you might even have somewhat good intention, saying, well, I just wanted you to know, just in case. How many times have we started a conversation like that and really the end result of that conversation ended up being the wild gourd of gossip being put into our pot? We need to be careful that we are not putting in those wild gourds on an individual level, allowing the influences of the world, not allowing the influence of negative, bitter, poison people into our life, not allowing those things to ruin who and what we are as we serve the Lord here in this life. It has a lot to do with our, of course, walk with the Lord, but our separation, our godly living. How can we do that in such an evil day? We still can. The reason I know we still can is because God still expects it. God still expects us to, and God has promised that He will deliver to us everything that we need to do it, and He has. It is possible for us today to live a godly life, even in the America that we have today that is full of poison. It's still possible. But too often we are plucking the wild gourds that may look good, and we might even have a good intention with it to begin with, as the servant that went out and picked him for Elisha. But oh, how we find ourselves putting poison in the pot so many times. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This scripture came to mind in thinking about this, this principle. You know, and there's another passage in Ephesians that comes to mind. Paul lists a bunch of things, and then he says, these things are not even once named among the heathen, and yet I find them in you. And, I mean, we could build a whole list of things tonight. We're just trying to throw out a few examples to get the people of God, to get ourselves thinking about what we put in to the pot. Is there death in our pot? Is there death in our pot? It will have a great impact upon how we live, what we do, and what we pour out, of course, as a people. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, when you read this verse, good manners, you kind of immediately begin to think about please and thank you. Don't put your elbow on the table at dinner and always hold the door open for, someone and be kind and that sort of thing. But when he's talking about good manners here, he's talking about good behavior. He's talking about godly living. And he says, don't be deceived. And too many people are deceived. They're deceived into thinking that they can pluck the wild gourds, put them into the pot, and the pot still be good. What's within still be unaffected, but that's not the case. It says no. It says evil communications corrupt. They make bad that which was good. They ruin, they poison. And that is the case. If we allow that to happen, we will then be full or have death in our pot as well. Proverbs chapter 6:27 says, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned or affected by it? And it's the same principle, the same thought. Sometimes we think we can. We think we can take fire. We think we can eat the wild gourd, that which is poisonous, and not have an effect on us. But certainly, that is not so. So we need to be thinking about, what do we have within our pot? Is there death within our pot? We are what we put into our pots. It greatly affects what comes out. It's what we've been making the analogy of. Even this morning, with those that are lost, if there's only poison in the pot, that's all that they can put out. Just like Elisha in the experience there, only poison could come out of that pot because there was death in it. And the same is true for us on an individual level. If what we're putting in is poison, that's what is going to come out. And so, when we have opportunity to be used by the Lord, or in our daily life as we talk to others and we have a relationship with others, what's going to come out? Not that which is beneficial, not that which is glorifying to God, but death, poison, is going to be the result being poured out of us. And let that not be our story. Let that not be a reality for us. Oh, how we ought to desire not to be a stumbling block or a hindrance to anybody else in this world and coming to know the Lord as Savior or serving Him acceptably in His church in this world that we find ourselves living in. So what are we dispensing? Is it good? Is it wholesome? You know, is it right? And the good news is that even if we take in the wild gourds, there is a remedy. There is a remedy. There's a remedy for a church. There's a remedy for individuals. And of course, that remedy is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, everything that God has given us. We can make it right. And that which has been taken in can be neutralized and changed. And we can, once again, contain that which is right and that which is good. Oh, how I pray that we would take this seriously tonight. And that we would really examine what is in the pot. Because just like a lost person, we have to have our eyes open. We have to be convicted of the fact that there's death in our pot. Too many of God's people are deceived and think that there is no death, no poison found therein. But in reality, there is. And as I mentioned at the close of service this morning, or actually it was afterwards, you can take this example and the miracle performed by Elisha and that statement, there's death in the pot, and you can apply it to so many different things in life. And I would challenge you to do that and really consider in our lives those influences that are coming in, the things that are going out, and all that it brings to mind, and really think about the death that is in the pot. These are just a couple of the ways and things that come to mind in addition to what we looked at this morning, and just pray that the Lord would use it to really get us thinking, get us convicted about what is in our pot. Can we identify poison? What are we to do then? Is it about taking out what is already there? Is it about trying to fix it ourselves? No, it's about going to the Lord. It's about seeking His remedy, adding in that which is good, making it right before God. Let's stand.